ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
And welcome into ABQ Connect. Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates in studio with me talking about money today. Brian, thanks for coming in.
Glad to be back. It's a lot of fun for me.
You know, I'm one of those people that sometimes I look at investments, and I think that the way to really invest would be to find out what stock I want to buy and then go buy something else, because some of the things I've been doing are just not working very well. Brian Cochran, of course, with John Moore and Associates. He's been on the program before. He is a certified independent registered investment advisor and shows people what they can do with money. And you have a team that helps people with stocks and bonds. And Brian, explain to us, if you would, before we really get going, what are the markets that people can look at in terms of investing?
Sure. And there's many. You know, it's getting more and more complex in the investing world, which I think is good job security for me, because there's a lot more information for investors, better you know, just websites and podcasts and blogs. I mean, you name it. There's so much for investors, but it's just getting more and more complex, and people have trouble making decisions. You know, generally when we talk about investing, most people categorize it as the big picture ones. So stocks, bonds, cash instruments, more of your bank products, your money markets, things like that. And then you also have hard assets like real estate, commodities, gold. The biggest ones we work in is more the traditional liquid markets of stocks and bonds. I like to call those owners and loaners. So when you own a stock, you really own a piece of a company.
Right.
And you get to participate in that, which if you really think about it, is almost a magical thing. You know, I don't have to be in California and in their office to own a piece of Apple, for example. That's not a recommendation to buy Apple, but it's just a magical thing that you can participate in all the innovation, the profits, the great things that happen in a big company like that by owning a little bit of their stock for a few hundred dollars. So that's the owner side. And then the bonds are loaners. So people know a lot of times that there's a difference between stocks and bonds, but what really makes bonds more secure is you're giving a loan to somebody with a promise that it'll be paid back with interest. Mm-hmm. So, depending on who you loan that money to,
yes,
it could be a very good loan or a bad loan. But that's why there's a little, you know, parallel there, or a difference really between stocks and bonds, is because they have very different characteristics.
And generally, bonds are going to pay you a little bit less yield in terms of return on your investment, but I guess theoretically are more secure.
Exactly. So people own stocks and bonds for different reasons. You know, a good high quality bond is usually owned for safety and preservation, whereas typically a stock investor is seeking long-term growth, but accepting that there's less certainty there.
Brian, when you talk about a stock portfolio, aren't you many times talking about people investing in like a mutual fund that is made up of a diversity of stocks as opposed to buying individual stocks?
Yeah, and that's where the world's got more complex, is there's thousands of mutual funds, which is really, like you said, it's a collection or bonds. There's a lot of different types of mutual funds that own different things. But you're diversifying automatically by owning different, you know, different holdings in that mutual fund. But now we have exchange-traded funds, exchange-traded notes. There's lots of different products out there, ways for investors to access the markets. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was talking about the complexity that I think is just more and more job security for folks like myself to give people wise counsel is you'd think more options would make investors more successful. But what we find is that they're making the same mistakes they've always made, and actually sometimes more options, more information is only going to make people probably act more often. And so often we make decisions that are counter to our goals or counter to our own benefit when we have too many options.
Gotcha. Well, Brian, you bill yourself as a financial planner. So I really want to target folks that are just beginning their careers or maybe early on, you know, 5-10 years in their careers, and they need to come up with a plan. But before we do that, I want you to remind us of some things that you talked about last time. You gave us some budgeting guidelines for like buying a car and buying a house, because a lot of times people are making those. I think you defined a house as a appreciating asset and therefore would qualify as an investment. But maybe buying a car, that's a depreciating asset, is really not an investment. They're absolutely necessary. And you gave us some really nice guidelines, and I like those sound bites. What was that advice you gave us?
Yeah, and these are great principles for people of any age and stage. We've seen people make mistakes on house and car purchases, whether they're just starting out as a young couple or a young single person starting their career, or someone making big buying decisions even in or close to retirement. So the guidelines we give for buying a house is look for something in the range of 2.5 times your annual income. So if you make $100,000 a year, try to shoot for that $250,000 budget for your home purchase. And that'll translate hopefully into a payment that will be within reason and allow you to do other things with your monthly income. For a car, obviously it's much less. Don't go buy a $250,000 car. It's got its own number. So we have a 3 times your monthly income for a car. So if you're making $5,000 a month, for example, you're looking at a $15,000 vehicle. Now, can you afford more? Can you qualify to buy a bigger house or more expensive car based on your income? Certainly. But what we find is if you follow these parameters, you leave room in your monthly expenses for giving, saving, and having some margin for the uncertain things that could happen in life.
I think, Brian, most bankers, most lenders would concur with this statement. I was a real estate lender for 30-plus years of my career. If you have reasonable credit, you know, anything over like 660, 680, a lender can always loan you more money than you can afford.
Yep, yep.
I mean, almost always. So I know people that are out right now, they want to go buy the latest and greatest pickup truck, and it's $65,000, and their monthly income's right around, you know, $5,000-$6,000 a month. Based on your guideline, they should be spending $20,000 to $25,000, and you can buy a really nice used truck
exactly
for that amount of money. But they're going and buying that $60,000-$70,000 truck that's got a $1,200 a month payment. And that money's going to an asset that a year later is going to be worth $50,000.
Yep. And maybe you can make that payment, but can you make that payment and save for retirement? Can you make that payment and save for the college education you want for your children? Can you make that payment and build an emergency reserve? All of these other things. Can you make that payment and give generously to causes you care about? You know, that's what's happening in our culture a lot right now. Is people say, how can anybody give generously? I have all these things I have to pay for. Well, a lot of it's because you've been setting your lifestyle based on what you either are allowed to be given in a loan based on these banks who don't really care if you give or save. They just want to make sure you can pay them.
Sure.
Or you're just being caught up in keeping up with the Joneses and in that crisis of comparison that we have nowadays where everybody is trying to keep up with someone who's at a higher level.
So as a guideline, let's take this. 3 times your monthly income is about the level you should be spending on a car. And 2.5 times your annual income is about the purchase price area where you ought to be buying a home. Mm-hmm. That will allow you then to be a really good steward of the money that God's given you. You made a statement last time that I really liked. Ultimately, this money is not ours.
Mm-hmm. And that's the most foundational principle for a believer when it comes to money, is acknowledging that whether it's money I'm going to use for my house, my car, or the money that goes in to the nonprofits and the causes I care about as a gift to the kingdom, all of that's God's money in the end. And if you treat it that way, it generally changes your perspective and your daily decisions.
And I can testify that it will save you a lot of stress later in your life if you develop habits of giving and saving and live within your means. We'll be right back. More from Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
You are cordially invited to attend Albuquerque Christian Children's Home annual holiday affair, benefit dinner, and auction Saturday night, November 16th at Embassy Suites Hotel in Albuquerque. Bid on items in the silent auction from 5 to 6:30 with dinner with live auction to follow. Tickets are available now by calling 898-5520. That's 898-5520. All proceeds to benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, providing care for at-risk children since 1970. Details online at acchkids.org.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned. children who are hurting and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, caring also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acchkids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Many of you are familiar with Brian Cochran. He is with John Moore & Associates. He is a financial planner and an independent registered investment advisor on the air. He's been with us once before. His company helps to underwrite the MoneyWise program that you hear on KNKT daily. And he is very in touch with people like Rob West with MoneyWise and Kingdom Builders, which you're part of yourself. Talk to me, Brian. Besides being a basketball guy, which is why I really like you, just kidding. My audience gets tired of the fact that I always talk about, you know, basketball being God's anointed game, but I just really believe it is. That's the way it is.
I'm not going to argue that.
And it was fun. We're talking off air. You have a couple boys who are getting ready to start playing, and I just remember with great affection all of those, you know, youth games and watching them grow and get better. Out of my five children, I had a couple volleyball players. I had a ballerina and a dancer. And actually, all three of my girls danced a little bit. They all did the drill team thing. In fact, they were all state champions, with the drill team at Hope Christian School. And my boys were state champions in basketball. So that was, I'm envious that you have small children and you're getting to watch them grow and develop. And, what we're talking about, financial planning, makes what we're talking about with our kids even more important. So we really want to encourage people to try to manage how you're spending money and live within a budget. Of course, you hear Rob West on MoneyWise talking about that every day here. But you're going to hear Brian talking about the same thing, because it's time for you to do some generous giving and it's time for you to save money. And you got to do that now, or you're not going to have the money down the road that you need for retirement.
Yep. And the reason why I might sound a lot like Rob at times, or anybody who has good financial wisdom is going to sound similar, is because God has consistent, timeless, transcendent principles about the way we should manage our resources. I mean, it's a really important thing to God, is how do we view money in our lives, and then how do we use the resources God's given us? So, you know, anybody who's giving good advice should sound somewhat similar there, with maybe a little different nuance, but overall, the principles are really strong and they work. That's the key that we tell people in our practice, because we work with people who are not believers. We still share with them biblical principles, and we say, you know, these don't have to be your principles in the sense that they're biblical, but just know that they work. And right, that's what God's given to us, is solid principles that improve our lives.
You know, I have a good friend of mine that has had a beautiful home right on a local golf course here in Albuquerque. Property was free and clear, probably in the neighborhood, I'm just going to guess, but I'm going to say $400,000 or $500,000. But beautiful home. I mean, just lovely. Great views. You walk out of the back door and hop over this little 3-foot fence and you're right on the golf course. You know, you can take walks. You can, get the membership to the golf course. Probably even have a golf cart that you can drive onto the course with. I'm sure that many of the people that live around the course have that. But he wanted to kind of move up, if you will, and older guy, over 50 years old, and he went and bought himself an $800,000-$900,000 house that is spectacular, but took all that equity of that other house and put it into a new house with another $500,000 loan. So now you've got a $3,500 a month payment. And I tried to talk him out of doing that. I said, look, take that $3,000 a month or $3,500 a month, save it, give it, and just live here and not have that pressure. And sure enough, here 3-4 years later, he's feeling the pressure.
Yep. And it speaks to the heart issue around money. So God knows that money can take control of our heart, and that's the competition that money has with with our faith and with our belief in God. And so when you look at someone like that, you know, you have to ask, what's the why behind that? Why the bigger house? Is it to impress neighbors? You know, that's a hard issue, that I don't feel confident in my personality and my value without having mm-hmm. a bigger home. Is it to save a marriage, you know, where the spouse wants more or he or she's going to leave? It, you know, there's always a hard issue behind a lot of these decisions, and it's hard to separate emotion and money. It's just, it's all interconnected. And most of the financial mistakes we see people make are heart issues. They're emotional challenges, not numbers challenges. Mm-hmm. And so part of our job is to be a objective third party to sit down and say, I understand what you're trying to accomplish here. I don't think it's in line with your other goals you're trying to accomplish. And let's try to get to the root of why you're going down this road that might be a mistake. Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the primary risks when you consider investing. Sure. What are the risks? I know they have to do with other things other than just thinking about buying a stock or a bond.
Sure. And what we like to say is everything in finance is about trade-offs. So you have to look at each investment option differently and try to understand what are the trade-offs. So, for example, for stock investing, the trade-off is you may have better long-term gains than you would have in some more conservative investments. The trade-off is short-term uncertainty. Mm. Okay, so let's talk about stocks for a second. So historically, if you go back to the 20s when we had stock market indices created where we could really track the day-to-day movements of U.S. markets as a whole. So day-to-day, there's about a 46% chance that the stock market will be down.
Mm.
Okay, so it's a 50-50 shot.
Half the time it could be down.
So okay. If you're a short-term investor or short-term timeline, that's a significant risk, right?
Sure.
It's almost a coin flip. If you go out month to month, about a 37% chance that you're down, okay, that you've lost money in the stock market. If you go yearly, it's about a 27% chance. So just from going looking at the market daily to yearly, you go from 50-50 to about 1 in 4 chance that you're down.
Those are fascinating numbers.
Yeah.
I love it.
And if you go out 5 years, this is when you start looking at maybe more of a normal investing duration. I typically don't recommend people look at stock market investing unless they have 5 years or more. You're only at about a 12%, about 1 in 8 chance of having a loss. If you go 10 years, it goes down to 5% chance. So now you're thinking more and more long term.
Right.
If you go 20 years, there's no rolling 20-year period in the stock market that's been negative. It goes down to zero.
Wow.
So one of the things I always argue in the idea of investing in stocks is, yes, there's volatility. Some people say, well, it's like gambling. It's like going to the casino. Okay, if I sit down at a roulette table or a blackjack table and I start gambling, I might win early on. The longer I play, the worse my odds get that I'm going to walk away from that table with money.
Right.
Okay, so it's actually the opposite of investing, because in stock investing, if you do it properly and you do it balanced, you actually increase your odds of having profits over time, whereas in gambling, it's the opposite. And it's not an all or nothing like gambling where I'm either going to double my money or go to zero. That's not the type of investing we certainly are looking for, that type of speculation. But if you use good principles, you know, over long periods of time, you increase your odds of success.
And Brian, you are really investigating the companies that you're recommending stock purchases mm-hmm. in. I mean, you're not, do they still have things like penny stocks and over-the-counter stocks? And those are very risky, is that right?
Yep. So we trade in the major markets like the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. And the key thing with our decision making that we don't see with all individual investors is process. So process and good stock selection does not take away the volatility, but it does help you understand how are we going to make decision when stock prices move differently than we might have expected, higher or lower. And how do I make a decision about what stocks to own that's not based on emotion? So you might have someone who's enthusiastic about, green energy and electric cars. So they buy Tesla, not having a process for understanding whether or not it's a good price to buy it now, but they're just emotionally attached to it. And now they're going to make buy and sell decisions based on that. So again, this is not a recommendation for or against Tesla as a purchase. That's your own decision. But what I recommend for investors in any marketplace, stocks, bonds, real estate, if you're doing it as a long-term investment, have a process for making decisions to remove the emotion. Because it will come into play at some point that you'll end up making a bad decision based on the emotions related to investing.
You know, I have to say that most people would perceive a car dealer as presenting the greatest deal of the century. And you must buy this car before 4 o'clock today or you're going to lose this deal. And a thing that I've appreciated about a couple of sponsors that we have here, we have Power Ford and we have Petrie GMC and Petrie Kia. the leadership of those car dealerships basically tells you, look, this is what we have. This is a good price. And then you can compare that to other dealerships. And what you find is that's exactly what they're doing. They're giving you a very fair deal. They're making money. They need to make money. That's sure. how they pay their employees and they take care of people. And they're being good stewards because they give money. A couple of these sponsors are spending money here, but they're also helping us with Star 88, our nonprofit station, and that's providing Christian music to people. So I just want to recognize there are people that are really honest in these industries. But then you also have people that are using all the sales tools, and they've been to all these different, you know, ways to close the deal. And frankly, and many times I get worried because people are manipulated by that. And I see that now happening online. Oh, we got the flash deal, coming to you from, the latest shopping, you know, sensation online. And you must buy it before this or that. And I want to say this, and I think you'll agree with it. There's always a good deal to be had.
Yep. And we see a lot of that type of activity, that type of salesmanship and that type of manipulation in our industry. And again, financial issues are usually hard issues. It's usually preying on fear and greed. Those are the two competing factors when we look at investing. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at those ads and say, okay, are they trying to prey on the fact that I might be fearful about the future? Which is, if you're caught up in a lot of fear, you need to get back to scripture because there's a lot of warnings about you should not be fearful as a believer.
Yes.
But, or is it playing off my greed? This is, everyone's making money on this. Get in on it, mm-hmm. right? Fear of missing out, right? But it's really about, am I making more money? Could I be making more money? Is it a greed factor or is it I'm afraid to lose?
Well, we're going to talk more about risks and volatility in the market, more with Brian Cochran after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace when darkness falls? Do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosca at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
And we are back with Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates here in studio this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Want to let everybody know that might be traveling in their cars, if you are anywhere in the vicinity of the University of New Mexico Hospital on Lomas and University, you may want to avoid that area. Apparently, there is an incident there, and APD has closed off traffic both east and west near UNMH. So we'll pray everybody's okay there, but try to avoid that area if you're driving in your car. That is near Lomas and University, near the University of New Mexico Hospital. Brian, we just started talking a little bit about risk and volatility in the markets, and we all know right now, I mean, every day you wake up, there's a new thing that our politicians have said. There's an impeachment hearing. There's this, there's that. And sometimes I expect the markets to just be going straight down, and somehow they have some resilience. Talk to us about making decisions based on what politics is doing about our investing.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. That's actually certainly since about 2008, 2009. That has been probably the biggest investing mistake we've seen from many of our clients, is letting their political beliefs drive their investment confidence or investment philosophy. And it was interesting after the 2016 election, when you had a huge shift in administrations, obviously, how that rotated. So our clients that maybe were leaning left were very confident from 2008 to 2016, and then immediately went into a state of fear. Mm-hmm. And you saw that not just from my own anecdotal experience and what we saw with clients, but you also saw that in surveys. So there was a consumer confidence survey that came out in early 2017. And if you were right-leaning, it was the highest reading they'd ever had. If you were left-leaning, they were acting, their consumer confidence was at a level that was that of a deep recession.
Wow.
So even though the economy has been still very, very strong since then, if you survey people who don't agree with the current administration, they're very negative. And we've had to pull our clients away from that type of feeling and still make wise, rational decisions. Again, the emotion that we were talking about before can override wise decisions. And we're right there again, right, with another heated election season coming up. And that's part of our job, is to keep people on a straight, you know, logical path, even though the politics of the day might be, creating fear and worry.
Right. So again, do the things you talked about in terms of volatility, like if you're a short-term investor, you mentioned if you're making daily decisions, you have a 50-50 risk of losing money.
Most, yep.
But as soon as you go to a month, you have much less risk. And as soon as you go to a year, you have much less. And then at 5 years, you literally have a threshold of haven't seen any or significant losses. And then at 20 years with the stock market, you're not seeing any losses at all.
No. So, and that's key, is, you know, the politics of the day are the politics of today. And I hear people talk about this time it's different, this time it's worse. I mean, you have to have a really short-term memory to think that we haven't been through situations like this before. Mm. I've watched some great specials about the Vietnam War era, and you look at the divisiveness in our country and the uncertainty that we face. That's really what we talk about risk. A lot of times the word uncertainty can be substituted there. We just don't know what's going to happen next. And that's the way the world always is, and there's maybe periods of heightened uncertainty. But to act like we've never been here before, or the markets haven't seen a period like this before, is just not right. We've been through the ups and downs.
Brian, do you think we truly have a world economy now, as opposed to what we might have had 40 years ago?
Yeah, and that's maybe one of the things that could be seen as different, is there's more influence from external factors on our markets. But even that part's not brand new. We've been through ups and downs with a global economy before, and it adds also different opportunities as an investor, because you want to see opportunities for growth. Well, our population isn't growing rapidly. Europe's population is in decline. Japan's in decline. And to have GDP growth and economic growth, you have to have a mix of productivity expansion and growth of population. And the only place is really set to grow. The U.S. is growing faster than Europe and Japan in population. Then you have to look to India and Africa, these more emerging economies, for growth. China is not growing. That's why I think you're seeing them be aggressive on the economic stage and the political stage. So, you know, there's increased maybe uncertainty, but there's also increased opportunity by having a global economy.
Now, at one time, I mean, they were talking about China, you know, just multiplying like crazy. Now, I understand that Mexico and their population is in a growth pattern right now. And of course, there's a lot of industry that's moved down from the United States into Mexico, which I'm sure is benefiting them. But then you have, you know, South America, you have discussions about the drug cartels and all of the things trying to come across the border. And I know that, you look at a company like Starbucks, and I always am fascinated watching Starbucks present their business model, because they go into these very poor communities in Colombia, for example, and they set up housing. Mm-hmm. They set up farm systems for growing coffee, and they teach the indigenous people how to run all of this, and then they buy the coffee. So they're literally setting up an economy that's just amazing.
Yep, huge upside for those populations. And again, you look at the international opportunities, you know, the number of Starbucks users, members, whatever you want to call it, is dramatically increasing year over year in places like China, where there is still a lower class moving to middle class. And, you know, what's the next country to drop? Now, you need some level of rule of law. You need economic freedom, which is restricted in China, to have true economic expansion as we've experienced in our country over hundreds of years now. But it's definitely an opportunity to see some upside for the world, and it's a benefit to those people. They have increased quality of life, increased access to healthcare, increased economic freedoms and stability. All these things could be ripple effects of growth. And that's, again, the beauty of investing is I can participate in that without having to go open a business in Africa, you know, or open a business. I can find companies that are participating in that type of expansion, buy that company if I believe in that, and then possibly enjoy the benefits if it works out.
Now, are there French companies, Chinese companies, Japanese companies trying to attract American investors in their stocks?
Always, yeah. And it's very much a global stock and bond market. So, and people from those countries are buying our investments a lot of times. They see that we are still the economic driver of the world in many ways. So there's constantly an exchange there, not just on the stock market, though, also on the bond market. So a lot of municipal bonds, a lot of corporate bonds, a lot of government bonds might be bought by outside investors that could drive those markets up or down. And so there is, you know, currencies matter, growth of different countries matters, fiscal policy of different countries matter. All this, and that's where the complexity of investing comes in and where you need to have a good understanding and a good process. So it doesn't matter if you know, your favorite online trader is giving you all kinds of data. If you don't know how to process this, it's going to be hard. And even those who are experts at it, who have maybe billions of dollars in budgets to do this, they still don't always know what's going to happen next. And there's still a lot of uncertainty. It's just part of the investment experience.
Well, this is all very complicated. Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates in studio with us this afternoon. Brian's got a couple more segments with us, and he's going to simplify this, I'm hoping. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're in studio with Elaine Ramos from Ramos Real Estate. Elaine, thanks so much for joining us again today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Steve.
One of the things we want to touch on today is credit scores. Everyone's an expert, it seems, I'm sure you have plenty of folks show up in your office, and they've probably predetermined whether or not they're at one score or another and how to take care of it. But the truth is there's so much that you've learned in the years you've done this that it really benefit them to come talk to you.
That's right, especially with the new abilities to check your credit scores online. Unfortunately, a lot of people use that to determine whether or not they can qualify for a home, but that information is incorrect. And often they'll come with credit score and be concerned they can't get a home, but often that is incorrect. And sometimes, and it's always higher. So definitely we want them to come in and get that checked.
Okay, so say you have a decent score, but you're looking for the best loan at the best rate, and you find yourself just a few points away from getting into the next better rate or better package. What do you do at that point?
So there's a program called Rapid Rescore that Eleanor Hutt of Waterstone Mortgage offers, and I'll let Eleanor tell you about it.
Hi, guys. Thank you for allowing me to be here and share some of the tools that we offer that will help you get your credit score raised. I've seen them go up as high as, you know, 10 points to 80 points. So it just depends where you're at, and that's why it's very important to speak with a professional that can tell you exactly where you stand.
And it could be changed in just a matter of days.
Correct. The normal way to get your scores up, you could take up to 2 to 3, 4 months going through a credit repair company, whereas the Rapid Rescore is a matter of days.
Wow. Elaine, if folks want to find out more about this, I know you've got an easy way for them to catch up with you.
You bet. If they can call me at 505-379-6845 or at my website at RamosRealEstateNM.com.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise at knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran with John Moore and Associates in studio with us this afternoon talking about investing and Christian principles of saving and giving. Brian, in your experience, when people give, I know the motivation is not to get back more from the Lord than you give, but seems like he always works it out that way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's this give and you shall receive. It may not be receive monetary benefit back.
Right.
But what I've seen with the folks that we serve that are generous is they have a great sense of contentment when they give. They have a great sense of satisfaction with how they've used the resources they have. Mm-hmm. And I like to say we've all heard or experienced buyer's remorse. You know, when you drive that new car you were talking about, that new $60,000 truck, you pull off the lot with that, and the next morning you wake up and you look at it and you go, oh, my goodness, what did I do? But I've never seen giver's remorse, and I've seen some very generous gifts. I've been blessed to be part of some planning with clients where they've been radically generous.
Yeah.
And I've never seen them come back and go, oh, my gosh, I wish I hadn't given that away.
You know, there's a story that I've always been fascinated about, and it's about our former presidential candidate, Mitt Romney. And he has been involved in the LDS Church for a really long time, so he has a little different faith orientation than what we typically talk about here on KNKT. But the thing that I admired about him is for years or for months while the election was going on, he would not show his tax return. But as soon as he did, I believe the number was $17 million he had given to charity. And I'm sure, you know, a lot to his the LDS Church and other things.
Sure.
But when a person gives away $17 million to charity, and then, of course, I don't know Bill Gates' orientation. I don't know Paul Newman, the late Paul Newman, the actor. But I know Newman's Own Food still today donates most of the profits to charity. I mean, these are just amazing things. And I'm really trying to point out people that are not really recognized in the Christian faith community. But these are people, these are givers that have just done amazing things in this country. We had Holly Slade on the program talking about Feed New Mexico Kids a couple days ago, and she has got this army of volunteers that is out bagging food for kids to have on the weekends because they don't have a way to eat on the weekends. I can't get over how many wonderful things happen with people that are generous with the wealth God gives them.
Yeah. And certainly Christians don't have a monopoly on generosity.
That's right.
You know, that's not the case at all. But I think we have the right spirit of generosity and giving in a lot of ways, that we have the right motivation, that it's not about us. It's not about, you know, we're specifically told not to give for recognition. And we're told to give out of joy and out of thanksgiving for what God's given us. Mm-hmm. And when you see people give with that attitude, and you mentioned Bill Gates, there's a wonderful three-part series on Bill Gates right now that I encourage people to see on Netflix, where it's talking not only about his giving, but how he's actually active in the, you know, the use of his money through his foundation with huge missions like eradicating polio and bringing sanitation to countries. So he's really, you know, doing a lot of positive things. And again, you don't have to be a Christian to do that, but what you see is a sense of satisfaction, a sense of accomplishment in what he's doing. And I think that's what God wants for us, is that we can use our resources wisely and then feel the joy that comes when we see positive results from that and helping others and making the money not just about us.
So you really talk to people about giving and you talk to people about saving. Why is it so important that we start this process now?
Yeah, so it's never too early and it's never too late to get started on these things. And you talked about the young couple starting out, or that young professional just getting their first paychecks. It's so important to build these habits so that it becomes easier and easier to give and to save. And I think both of those need to be habits as soon as possible for each person. And again, you might be listening to this right now in your 60s and say, oh, well, I don't give regularly now. Get started, you know, start with something small even. And I guarantee you'll feel some joy and contentment from that. But part of the advantage of starting early is time is on your side. We were talking earlier about how the longer you invest in the stock market, the less probability of having a negative return. So time is an important factor in investing. You need to give yourself time to let those investments work. And when you look at the magic of compound interest, I wrote a blog post about my son. He had a little acting job, made some money, and I set up a retirement account for him, which you can do for a minor, and put in, you know, a relatively small amount of money. And then I ran a quick calculator just out of curiosity. What will this be worth when he's 70 and he might be looking at drawing this money down? And it was turning, you know, $1,500 into something like $170,000.
You know, just, wow.
You know, with no additional savings to the account, just the power of compound interest. So starting sooner, giving yourself the time for it to work, even if you have to start small, is a powerful thing. And I encourage people to always start as soon as possible. And it's one of the greatest gifts you can give to young people. If you're a grandparent who has young adult grandchildren in their 20s that are starting their careers, help them start that little Roth IRA. Maybe incentivize them by giving them a match and say, hey, you put $1,000 in your retirement account, I'll hook you up with another $1,000. And so they get that motivation, and then they'll start to see it work.
And a lot of times people are putting together wills and, you know, monies and things that where their children are going to get paid some kind of benefit or inheritance when the parents die. You're talking about getting that done right now. Help that money start working right now. And there's also some accountability, so they can't just run down the street and spend that money.
Yep. And one of the principles we teach is do your giving while you're living, so you're knowing where it's going. And the idea there is whether it's charity or family, let's test them a little bit with this. Yeah. So when we have a family who's wealthy and we've determined that they have enough to support themselves for their lives and still be generous, and what might encourage an increased level of giving to the family now, and let's see how they handle it. And that might impact how you adjust that will and your estate plan, because if you see them being poor stewards, then it might be a good test for them that they can pass or fail that could impact their long-term estate. And what we see is most, you know, young people, when they get those gifts with a little coaching, they step up, they make the right decisions, and they'll make their family proud. But it's an important thing not to just assume that they're ready to handle that money. And it's also a great motivator for them to be better stewards with what they're earning along the way.
Well, I think there's a lot of young people out there that have read my book, How I Turned a Million in Real Estate into $25 in Cash, and they want to stay away from that kind of...
But, you know, there's a key point there, Jim, is you have children, and tell them that story. We encourage that with our clients. It's not just what you give them financially, but you've learned lessons about money in your life. And what I find so often, parents and grandparents don't share those lessons. And instead of giving them money, maybe just teach them. Say, hey, here was a mistake I made. I got way into debt because I bought too much car or too much house, or positive lessons. Wow, I started just saving 5% of my income in my retirement plan, and I'm amazed how far that's taken me. And, you know, that's such a big part of the opportunity we have to bless the next generations, is just through storytelling and teaching and share the ups and downs you experienced, and then they're going to have their own ups and downs either way. Don't get me wrong, but there's certainly a lot we've learned along the way.
We have one more segment with Brian. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You'll get a better deal and a better experience. And every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule while working toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Select teachings from the Bible from 30,000 feet are now part of the distance learning curriculum at Veritas International University, with online classes from Pastor Skip Heitzig, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. When you complete the Bible from 30,000 feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. Through Veritas, you can take online, fully accredited classes working towards a bachelor's, master's, or PhD. The spring semester is quickly approaching. For a full list of classes and to enroll, go to viu.ves.edu. That's viu.ves.edu. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Another day of learning with Brian Cochran, John Moore & Associates. Brian is a financial planner and an independent registered investment advisor. I learned so much, Brian, when you're here talking about what a cool quote. Say it one more time. You want to do your giving while you're living.
Yep. So you're knowing where it's going. So the idea there is, if you want to pass something on, don't wait till you're gone. As you're able to give now, see the benefits of that at work. And as we were talking about with family, it's a good test to see how they might handle a future inheritance.
Now, are there instruments where kids that you might think are going to be irresponsible or they don't have the education, where they can't necessarily touch that money, but it can start compounding interest in things, which is the whole intent?
There may be ways you can do that through trust planning. Mm. Part of the reason we encourage that, though, is so we can let them make mistakes.
Oh, I got you.
And then you can talk about it.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you think say you've got a son and a daughter and your estate plan right now is to give 50% of your estate to each, and you give them each $2,000 a year for a few years to see how they handle it, and the son not only spends that but is further and further in debt every year, and your daughter is growing that through wise investing or paying off her debts and making good decisions, that could inform some of your estate planning decisions down the line.
Mm.
And then when it comes to charity, similar concept, right? Give them a gift, see how it's managed, see how they steward it, stay familiar with that organization that you want to benefit as part of your estate plan. Mm. And then if you don't see wise stewardship, we may need to change course. But if you do see wise stewardship, what an encouragement to the plan you've already made that you know it's going to be handled well, or you're confident it'll be handled well.
So, Brian, we have just a few minutes left here, and we're going to have Britton Pruitt with the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home in studio with us right after you are. And Britton is the development guy for ACCH, and they are raising money, and they have stewardship over what God gives them. They're a charitable organization. And what type of services can you provide for nonprofits and people like that?
So we do some special coaching for nonprofits, particularly in the areas of asset-based giving. So encouraging people not just to write checks to charities, but also know that they have the opportunity to give appreciated investments like stocks or real estate to charity. There's a lot of opportunity there that we think is untapped.
Mm-hmm.
So we do coaching on that, where we'll actually sit down with their key donors over a luncheon or a one-on-one meeting even, and just teach principles. And we do that not so much as a promotion of our organization, but really we've seen that encourage greater giving. We've done that with a few local nonprofits, one in particular, where they saw some givers who had consistently given and given generously a few $1,000s a year, bump up their giving to $30,000, $40,000, even $100,000 a year because they had the right principles.
Wow. Brian, what is the single biggest danger about investing? What do we need to watch out for?
I think what I see the most, especially in times like this, of fear. You were talking earlier about political worry and concern about what the future might hold. I think the biggest concern I see is inaction. People are not investing. People are pulling back or just not saving at all, especially young people who have this long horizon where really what happens in the next 6 months will probably have no bearing on their long-term investment plans. But they're not taking action because they have fear. I actually saw an article recently that a lot of millennials aren't investing because they're so afraid of climate change. They say, why invest for the long term if we're all going to be underwater in 10 years?
Right.
You know, so this letting fear and uncertainty freeze you. And then once you're invested and once people are participating in the markets, what I see the most is people let their emotions be pulled around and elevated by short-term events, and that impacts negatively their investment decisions that could have long-term implications.
Last question for you, Brian. Yep. I know that one of the investments that we don't really title an investment is really just a little savings. Mm-hmm. And Rob West on MoneyWise always talks about having a reserve fund.
Yep.
Available. And that's really critical. In fact, I have a friend of mine that talked to me the last couple of days about possibly investing a lot of money to refinance their house, reduce an interest rate. But the amount of money they had to put in to close the loan was going to be, $10,000, $15,000. And I said, boy, it'd be better for you to save that in reserve because it's going to take you 8 years to recover those closing costs
yep.
based on the amount of money you're going to save.
And what we like to talk about there is the word liquidity and having money that's safe, stable, and available. So you talk about that little savings account that should not be invested in something that, like we were talking about the stock market, where one day the next, it's a 50-50 chance whether you might lose money on it. This should be something safe and available. And what we like to say is that liquidity is your best risk management tool. Okay. And if you were worried about risk, manage those short-term risks by having some safe money now. And then when it's appropriate, once that's preserved and that goal's met, then you can look to the long-term and have more of a long-term vision with goals that might be out 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the line.
Brian, thanks so much for the time today. I learned so much. I'm always a little bit more at peace because you're very calm about what's happening in the political climate and everything. And it's because you've been watching the markets for this many years. And you know that a lot of that happens independently of our political process. And I hope that's true on the world stage as well, because we still live in a fallen world. We know that. We want to be wise stewards about what God's given us. So, again, thank you, Brian yep. Cochran, John Moore and Associates. We'll have you back on here in a few weeks, and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and in the meantime, if anybody wants to read more of our content, johnmoore.com is our website, and just click on that Insights tab up on the top right, and you can see our latest thoughts, our latest blog posts there.
John Moore.
johnmoore.com, and look for Insights.
Insights, great. All right. Well, stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back with Britton Pruitt. He is the Director of Development for the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. They have a big event coming up on the 16th. So stay with us. We'll be right back.